City remain underwater, and federal relief officials are starting to worry about the hundreds of thousands who are eager to get home. There's no drinking water, and the levee system remains weak. Fixing them will take time and money. The question is how much? ABC's Barbara Britt takes a look.
The Army Corps of Engineers estimates it'll be next year before the levees are back to their pre-Katrina protection levels. In fact, some of the follow-up projects added after Hurricane Betsy back in 1965 won't even be completed for another decade. And experts say any new protection around New Orleans won't be fully in place for another 30 years and will cost tens of billions of dollars.
ABC's Barbara Britt. The cause is unknown in a fatal commuter train derailment in Chicago this morning. One dead and over 83 injured on the south side. ABC's Steve Scott in Chicago reports the engineer on the Metra train was relatively new to the job.
The engineer involved in today's crash had been on the job with Metra Commuter Rail for only 45 days. Before that, he underwent 6 months of training, and before that, he was a freight engineer for more than 5 years. The engineer was not seriously hurt in the crash. He's been checked out at a Chicago hospital.
ABC's Steve Scott. Authorities in Iraq say a car bomb on the outskirts of Baghdad today killed at least 30 people. This is ABC News.
Does your basement or crawl space have a damp, musty smell? That's a sign of too much moisture and not enough ventilation. And that increases mold growth and the buildup of harmful toxins and gases. But you can remove these dangers with a Humidex ventilation unit. Here's what one homeowner wrote.
We had a dehumidifier in our basement, but it never got rid of the dampness and musty odors. Whenever my children went downstairs to play, their asthma always got worse. We had a Humidex installed, and I can't believe the results. Within a few days, the odors were gone, and the kids are feeling much better.
With Humidex, there's no maintenance, no buckets to empty, no filters. For just pennies a day, Humidex provides moisture control and fresher, healthier air. Satisfaction guaranteed. Call now for a free Humidex brochure. Here's the number. Call 1-800-663-2585. That's 1-800-663-2585. Or log on to dryhousenow.com. Call now, 1-800-663-2585.
That lovable little monkey, Curious George, has captured the hearts and imaginations of generations of children and people who love children's books. But ABC's Aaron Katursky reports that Curious George came into being in a tumultuous world and almost never made it to print.
The Curious Little Monkey.
I can't imagine our world without Curious George.
But the creators of the rebellious monkey and the man with the yellow hat were almost caught by the Nazis before they escaped Paris in 1940.
Imagine if they hadn't got out of France.
They did. And Louise Borden, author of The Journey That Saved Curious George, says the German-born Jews carried a manuscript about a monkey named Fifi.
Fifi sounds a bit feminine for American readers.
So when Margaret and H.A. Ray finally made it to America, their character's name was changed to George. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, New York.
Tropical storm Ophelia dealt the most glancing of blows to southeastern New England and is now out to sea. Louise Schiavone, ABC News.
The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
Welcome to Body, Mind, and Balance, a weekly program devoted to celebrating the balance between physical health and mental health. Our show explores ways to integrate physical and mental health into a lifestyle of overall wellness. Our hosts are four professionals with diverse expertise and backgrounds. Corey Bank is a sports psychologist. Joanna Hodorowska is a nutrition consultant and swim coach. Valerie Shinbaum is a psychotherapist. Susan Toller is an endurance athlete. Together, we are working towards achieving body, mind, and balance.
Thank you.
Thanks, Valerie. It's great to be here today.
Good. Deborah Moses is a self-employed consultant. She has written a book called Change Your Life, The Core Approach to Creating the Life You Want. And we've had you on before talking about reinvention. Today we're talking about change, the choices and challenges. And I'd like to also introduce Mary, who is a full-time student at Delaware County Community College, working towards a nursing degree. In 2006, she will be transferring to Jefferson Medical College for the nursing program. She was a full-time lab technician in a large pharmaceutical lab for a long time. And there have been other changes in Mary's life, so welcome to both of you again.
Thank you.
Before I forget, the call-in number for the station is area code 610-664-4100. Please feel free to call in. If you're out there listening and you have anything to say, add, share, we're here for you and we're happy to listen. So, change. In preparing for this show, Deborah, you and I were talking about all the different kinds of things that happen with change. We've been emailing back and forth this whole week and talking on the phone. And Mary, you and I ran into each other on campus.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about change and how change comes up. And, oh, it's a lot going on, isn't it? So I thought of something just this afternoon, Deborah. You and I were talking about the two kinds of change that exist.
Absolutely.
The ones that happen to us that we don't have control over. And we were thinking this week about the Hurricane Katrina victims, which I know is on everybody's mind.
Right.
And Mary, of course, you've had a situation come up just today that almost prevented you from coming to the studio. So change happens. Unexpected change, I think, is a pretty big deal, and that's pretty important. And then the other kind of change, which is change that we initiate. And sometimes the first one happens, and that forces the second one to happen. So I throw it out to you and say we can start anywhere you want to.
Well, even some of the changes that we don't have control over, you mentioned unexpected change. Sometimes those changes are expected, and we still don't have control over them.
Right.
Companies that downsize,
right,
all of a sudden you know that you're not going to have the same job any longer.
Right.
And you need to think about, okay, I'm not going to be at this company any longer, now what? That's an expected change, but it's not one that you necessarily have control over.
Right, right. And then once you find that out, even when it's announced, you still go through all the feelings.
Sure you do.
A student of mine over the summer had told me that, I guess the day after the course ended, I got an email from her, because a lot of what we talked about in this class, it was a class on personality and the types of personality styles and this and that. And she had been working for a bank for 20 years in middle management and had been there a long, long time. And the day after the class ended, she sent me an email to say that the bank had come in the morning and basically escorted a group of middle managers to the door. That was it. Clean out your desks. Here are a couple boxes.
Happens more often than we think it does.
I know. And I asked her, my logical question was, well, but at least they gave you a package, right? And I think she started laughing. We talked on the phone after this, and she started laughing, and that happens a lot. You know, they'll just say, it's time to go, so bye-bye, and thank you for working for us for 20 years, and we wish you the best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the gold watch thing doesn't always happen any longer.
No, in the leather chair. No. I had another student over the summer also who worked for IBM for 17 years, and they downsized. And he's back in school for nursing, as a matter of fact. So, you know.
That's a big change.
How about you, Mary? How did it happen for you? What made you make that shift?
Basically, what happened to me is I was involved in a lab accident that greatly changed my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I am now trying to be as positive as possible. I'm trying to be involved more so with the decisions I'm making and go on with my life and mm-hmm. trying to do it all in a positive manner.
Mm-hmm. Hard to do some days, isn't it?
It's real hard to
do. Yeah, because I know that along with these job changes, you've also had some medical issues that you've shared with me, and that can really, you know, I think of you, I think I described you to somebody. I was telling the story of running into you this week, and I described you as a Sherman tank. And I mean that in a good way, Mary, of course. I described you as a Sherman tank because when I see a picture of a Sherman tank in a movie or something, nothing gets in their way. They just go forward.
Well, I think when change happens, and like you said, sometimes it's predictable, sometimes it just happens, something happens to you in your life, and
mm-hmm.
you don't have control,
mm-hmm.
you have a tendency to stand back and look at what's happening, but you might not necessarily see it in a clear manner.
Right.
So you might get misdirected as to where you should be going, and I found that that does happen.
Right.
But with a little help, you can get back on the track.
Right. I also think that if you have resilience, that's why I think of you as a tank when I describe you as a tank. I think of people who have resilience. And Deborah, you and I were talking about personality styles this afternoon. Tell the story that you said about the baby. That's a really good example.
Well, I think there are different types of reactions, as we've talked about, to the fear that comes up with a change. People react to change in a less than positive manner. Not everybody is the Sherman tank that Mary is. and by the way, even though, you know, people like you and I who deal with change all the time in our daily careers, either me with the corporate changes that, you know, we go through with consulting or reengineering, or you as a therapist dealing with people who are going through changes, sometimes it needs to be said that you know, we both had bad weeks. We were laughing earlier about the fact that we both had bad weeks, and this ought to be a real interesting show on change. even when you know the right things to do, it doesn't always work as efficiently as we would like it to because we are human. But the point that about the newborns is, you know, newborns have no fear. We're not born with fear. We're not born with a resistance to change. It's a learned experience.
Right.
So we need to figure out sometimes where we learned that, why we learned that, what we were afraid of, what changes we were thinking about or alerted to when those things began to be in our awareness, and realize that most people resist change because of either, I tried that before, or that happened to me before, and they think it's the same situation or a similar situation, or it's an unknown situation.
Right. I like the example that you gave about babies not having fear. I had the opportunity to work with a couple last year for a few months who were bringing their daughter in to see me, who was five. And in the process of working with them, I started to see where this child was displaying some of her behavior because both of the parents tended to have a little bit of anxious personalities. This was an adopted child. She was their only child. She was five. And I remember one time we did a little bit of exercise with her, writing her name. She was learning her letters. And she wrote one of her letters backwards. And the moment that she did, both parents gasped with a little bit of, like, scaredness. That's not a word, but you know what I'm saying. They were both, you know, there was that sharp intake of breath because the child made a mistake. And I thought, here it is, right here. That's a perfect example. And then the child hears that. It's audible. And now she thinks, uh-oh, what am I supposed to do with this?
Make a mistake.
I made a mistake. So a lot of what I did with this family was just working with the parents on, okay, kids make mistakes, so do grown-ups. And then we talked about their mistakes. It's a very interesting experience to hear
that.
And
in that specific example, that's a really common thing. When kids are learning to write, they always write things backwards.
Sure. And I think that it's like when you see younger children who fall down and they don't necessarily cry, but they look around first to see if anybody's watching. Mm-hmm. And then depending on the people's expression on their faces, they'll make a decision as to whether to cry or not. That's very interesting, too.
That happens. That's pretty frequent.
Yeah,
you see that a lot.
So that's a lot of where change and our attitudes around change starts from, doesn't it? About how the people around us whose facial expressions we can read are relating to change.
How they react, absolutely. Yeah. Well, I think the other thing that we were talking about earlier that's really important for our listeners to hear is the whole emotional allergies, the emotional hangover piece of this, where something happens, it's similar, although not the same, to something that happened before.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we see this a lot with people in relationships. I think when you've been in a relationship that was less than perfect, as they all are, and there were specific buttons that that other person pushed, and then you get in a new relationship, and the new person unknowingly pushes some of those same buttons, you go into that immediate emotional reaction, that allergy. You call it a hangover. I call it an allergy. It's interesting. But you know, you tend to react to that.
Right.
And the person may not mean it in any way, shape, or form the way the previous owner, you know, related to it or meant it. So we really need to be careful that we're dealing with the reality of now.
Right. Life in the moment. That makes a lot of sense. I think that's a good point. And it's funny, as you said the word relationships, I was thinking it in my head because I think that's so much of where we get a lot of our information about change. And I think that sometimes we tailor our reactions to change based on the reactions of other people around us.
I agree.
Yeah, you think so too?
Definitely. Mm-hmm. But I think that we need to acknowledge to ourselves that we continually change.
Right, good point.
From day one till the day you die.
That's true.
And you hit bumps in the road on a fairly regular basis.
Right.
And you can't control all these bumps, and you have to learn to accept certain things, and you need to deal with them in a positive manner.
You know, what's interesting is that sometimes we are our own bumps. Have you ever noticed that?
Yes, we hold ourselves back.
Yeah, and sometimes we can't get out of our own way.
Right, we're our own worst enemies.
That's true. That happens a lot. When we come back, we're going to continue talking about the types of change that happen in our lives, the ones we can control and the ones we can't. We're here on Body, Mind, and Balance on AM 860 WWDB. Once again, our call-in number is 610-664-4100, and we'll be right back.
Why are you settling for less than you want? Yes, I am talking to you. Hello. Your life is not what you want it to be, right? So why are you settling? You know why? Because you don't know how to get the life you really want. I'm Deborah Moses, author of Change Your Life, The Core Approach to Creating the Life You Want. This book can revolutionize your life. 4 steps to creating the life you want. Choice, opportunity, responsibility, expectation. C-O-R-E. 4 steps. Sound simple? It is. Stop settling. Take the first step now. Make the choice to get, change your life, the core approach to creating the life you want. Available at Amazon and by visiting www.transformingyouseminars.com. That's transforming you, the letter U, seminars.com.
Are you anxious or feeling down? Struggling with relationship, family, or career issues? Wondering if you might have an addiction or eating disorder? If you answered yes to any of the above, then give me a call. Hi, I'm Valerie Shinbaum, a licensed professional counselor in private practice with over 13 years of treatment experience. I work with children ages 5 and up, adolescents, adults, couples, and families. Together in therapy, we can explore issues around parent-child conflict, marital and couple stressors, grief and loss, self-esteem building, divorce and custody concerns. I'm available in 2 office locations, Newtown Square, Pennsylvania, and Plymouth Meeting, Pennsylvania. Call me for more information or to schedule an appointment at 610-322-7829. Again, that number is 610-322-7829. I'm here to help you.
It's the largest mobilization of resources for a single national disaster. Hurricane Katrina's aftermath in the Gulf states is unprecedented, with a great loss of life, destruction of property, and public health concerns. The American Red Cross is providing free disaster assistance, including shelters and over 500,000 hot meals every day for evacuees. You can help these victims by calling 1-800-HELP-NOW to make a cash donation, or you can mail your check to the American Red Cross, Post Office Box 37243, Washington, D.C. 20013.
Okay, here we are back on Body, Mind, and Balance. I'm your host, Valerie Shinbaum. We're at AM 860 WWDB, and our call-in number is area 610-664-4100, in case you have anything to say. And today we're talking about change, the choices and challenges. And in the studio with me, I have Deborah Moses, who is the founder and president of Veris Associates, and also Mary, who is a full-time student at Delaware County Community College and former lab technician. And as we went to break, Deborah, you said I should come back with the following statement, which is that the only thing in life that's constant is change. And then we were going to talk more about, Mary, you just brought up an interesting point as we were talking about sometimes when change happens, how to approach it from a positive place isn't always something we're able to do without a little help. So
we need help.
Yeah.
Sometimes we need a lot of help along the way to get where we're going.
Right.
I think the first fact is admitting that you have an issue.
Mm-hmm.
And deciding how you want to go about resolving it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you need help from an outside source, some type of counseling, go get it, because it's the way that's going to get you on the right path.
All right. Thank you for plugging my industry. Very much appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Well, certainly they could read my book.
That's right. Of course they can read your book. Yes. Deborah is also the author of Change Your Life, The Core Approach to Creating the Life You Want.
I have also found that reading certain books in regards to the approach of how you deal with change has helped me a lot.
Yeah.
In the beginning, when I was having some issues, it was difficult at best. I needed guidance to get to this point.
Sure.
And now I'm hungry for the information that I'm able to obtain.
So that's a change in you, that your drive towards embracing change versus being afraid of change has been a shift that you made.
Yeah, I had a big fear of change.
Yeah, well,
definitely. This was not induced by my own part, but I had to partake in it.
Right.
And as we had discussed earlier, I think sometimes we are our own worst enemies.
Right,
we create a lot of problems for ourselves.
Yeah.
And I truly believe that through counseling, you can really, you know, be more aware of what's happening to you and be able to cope. You can learn better coping skills.
Mm-hmm. For some people, I'm sorry, didn't you cut you off? For some people, it involves actually creating coping strategies. I know that there are so many people that I meet along the way, not just clients or students of mine, but just people that I know who are very, how can I explain this? in essence, they don't have coping strategies. Their system is not in place internally to roll with something when something happens. I mean, even something as upsetting as the weather. I'm starting to see this now in my practice. I'm already starting to see people with seasonal affective disorder. The days are getting shorter, mm-hmm. and the weather is coming on to colder. And there are a lot of people who struggle with this next period of months between probably the beginning of October and potentially the end of February. Well, that's a lot of months to be at a lower place or a lesser level of functioning. It's hard.
But I think that if you are positive in the way you go forward when you have an issue, mm-hmm. and being positive about the type of help that you need, mm-hmm. and you have to be realistic too.
Right.
You have to get to a point where you have a problem that you realize that you have it and what right. you can do to fix it.
Right.
And sometimes it just takes outside source to do it.
Mm. Well, certainly, once again, thank you for that plug of the industry. I appreciate all the supportive feedback we can get. So let's talk a little bit about some of the changes that happen to us. I mean, women, here we are, we're three women. Mm-hmm. You know, women, we are used to having our bodies go through changes for a period of, what, about 40 years or something like that, you know, on like a monthly basis. Some a little sooner. You know, that's a big change for us. And then how about if women, you know, choose to have children? Deborah, you were pregnant on more than one occasion.
Yes.
Right?
I have four at home, not
okay.
all of which I gave birth to. But,
okay.
You know, they range from 20 down to 15. Mm-hmm. And going through the changes, just not just the physical changes of having children, but just the way your life changes at every step
Absolutely.
Of the game when you've got infants or toddlers or, you know, school-age children. And then, gee, we get to the teenage years, and that's a whole other story, and
oh,
that's
right.
a whole three or four other shows.
Right, right.
And then eventually they turn into, like, normal adults.
Mm-hmm,
I have learned that. There is light at the end of the tunnel. They do turn into normal
right,
adults.
Right,
whatever normal means in this day and age.
That's right.
But that, you know, all of those changes, you, if you don't have, as Mary says, a positive attitude toward the changes, it's very difficult to roll with those punches. It's difficult to be that rubber band. I remember once that a gentleman who hired me said, I'm not sure, I know I want you in the company, I'm not sure where I want you yet, I'm going to need you to be a rubber band for a while, which was great because, you know, having learned how to do that through therapy when I was younger, through my own awareness of the stuff that I had been through that I needed to deal with and become more flexible about change because, as we said earlier, life is all about change.
Right.
You begin to understand that you can roll with those punches, and it really does take a positive attitude.
Right.
You can just be angry all the time and be miserable about it, or you can have a positive attitude and say, what am I going to learn from this? You know, what is the teenager going to learn from this? How do we do this that it's a win for everybody?
Right.
You know, and it's a much better outcome when you stay positive.
Mm-hmm.
Although, you know, again, I say with tongue-in-cheek that the teenage years, it's kind of tough to do that sometimes.
Right. Whether you are one or you're raising one or you know one. No. Yes.
Well, I believe that, you know, as a young adult or a teenager or a young college student, the coping abilities are definitely different.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can look back as being younger and seeing how well I necessarily did or did not cope.
Mm-hmm.
As an adult, we live in a different type of world. We have more responsibilities, which gives us more adaptation to change.
Mm-hmm.
And we might start out doing one thing and end up doing another.
Oh, I think that happens all the time. Yeah, yeah.
And it's just, it's the approach to
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think through everything that I've been through over the last 3 years, I would say, once again, counseling was number one. It's right there. And the attitude is the next thing. And the third thing would be that you need to apply yourself.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
To the change, to what you want. You need to have some idea of what
right.
it is you want.
Right. Well, that brings us to Deborah's book. Let's segue into Deborah's book for just a minute. We'll veer off the course. We can always come back to the main road. It's called Change Your Life, The Core Approach to Creating the Life You Want by Deborah Moses, and it's self-published, right?
It is.
Yes, it's available on Amazon.com, correct?
It is, and from our website.
Mm-hmm. And so you created this whole series of concepts talking about change because it's something you did, right?
It is. It's based on the experience that I had in making the change from getting out of climbing that managerial executive ladder in corporate America into entrepreneurship and all the changes that came as a result of that. And I had to think about, so many people would say to me, particularly women, I could never do what you did. And I would look at them and say, what do you think I did that you couldn't do? I mean, you can do this too. No, I could never do that. I don't know how to do that. I wouldn't have the knowledge. And I really had to think about this. And I decided that so many people felt that they couldn't create the life they wanted. Whether it doesn't have to be entrepreneurship. There are many other things that people want besides having their own business. But it's about making a choice about what you want and what the next phase of your life is going to be or what the rest of your life is going to be. And then about looking at the opportunities. The core approach is choice, opportunity, responsibility, expectation. The opportunities, and Valerie, you know, my motto is I'll find a way or I'll make one.
That's right.
So the opportunities are in front of us, even when we don't necessarily recognize them. I think I heard Mary say something earlier that it isn't always what you think it's going to be. Sometimes those opportunities aren't packaged nice and neatly like we expect them to be. We have to seek them out. We have to find them. We have to be aware of who or what may be in our path. It may be an opportunity for us.
Right.
And then the responsibility piece around the change. We were talking about sustaining change earlier. We need to be responsible about giving. And that's the responsibility piece in core is giving. When you're stuck, sometimes giving to someone else can help you get unstuck.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's coaching Little League or, you know, whatever kind of giving that you as an individual find that you need to do. But the other piece of responsibility that also flows into expectation, which is the E in core, is that sustaining piece. It's being responsible about the people to whom we report, so to speak, our loved ones, our coworkers, our peers, our friends, and gaining their support for our change, helping them to help us reach the expectation of success in the change that we're trying to embrace.
Well, on our show, when you were on with me the last time, we were talking about reinvention and reinventing ourselves and how that's another constant in life is that if we're going forward with any kind of happiness and with a pace that makes sense, that feels smooth, there's a lot of times when we will have to veer off course or to choose something on the side road and then come back. We talked about that on the last show. And what you just said about expectations brings me to talking about one of the biggest changes I think that we go through in terms of, and here's a big, 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 big word, here it comes, letting go of obligation based on guilt.
Mm-hmm.
And Mary, you know this from being in classes with me, that I'm all about letting go of guilt because we're not hardwired with guilt. We don't get born feeling guilty.
Right.
Just like we don't get born with fear, we don't really get born with guilt. But boy, people can sure put it on us and then we really own it. You know, it becomes part of our skin.
Well, it's instilled. And
yes, it
sometimes
is.
Your parents do it to you.
Yeah, sometimes your parents
and your older
do.
Relatives,
society,
work.
Yeah, sure.
And you get to a point in your life where you've had enough.
Uh-huh.
And you just say, that's it. No more. I'm not taking this anymore. You let yourself be guilty.
Mm-hmm.
You let yourself carry it
mm-hmm.
on you.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's for no reason whatsoever.
True.
And you said a key point. You let yourself.
Uh-huh.
And I was, as Mary was talking, I was thinking of the words you told me earlier, you eliminated from your vocabulary. I should, I have
ought to. Have to, supposed to, and must.
Right.
Yeah, I don't play those phrases. And I hear people say, you and I talked about should, though, because should can be a personal choice.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, that goes along with obligation based on guilt. You can do obligation based on choice. And there's the change also. That's a pretty big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Something I wanted to make sure I mentioned is you mentioned about people, the women that you hear from. Somebody at the gym today, I told her I would mention this in case she's listening to the show. I was at the gym this morning talking to a woman who's an attorney, and she was working for a corporation for a long time, and then a reorg came along, a reorganization in the company came along. And at the time that she was, you know, set free, basically, or set loose from this company, her children were small, and it gave her an opportunity to shift her whole legal career in a direction that was going to be able to embrace watching her children go through school and being more available to them. And she said she doesn't know, had she been not let go from her company, if she would have made the choice or the change that she did. But sometimes that kind of circumstance sends us an opportunity that's worthwhile. When we come back, we're going to continue talking about change, the choices and challenges with Deborah Moses and Mary here at AM 860 WWDB, Body, Mind, and Balance. Our call-in phone number is area 610-664-4100. We'll be right back.
I really don't know what I want, but I do know one thing. This life isn't it. Hey, I just read a great book that could help you figure it out. It's called Change Your Life, The Core Approach to Creating the Life You Want by Deborah Moses. It really helped me get on the right path to the life I want. Now I'm working on following my dreams and making them reality.
How did it help you so fast?
It's easy. Just 4 steps to follow to create the life you want. Choice, opportunity, responsibility, expectation. Read it and you'll understand.
Sounds like a real find. How can I get a copy? I want to read it as soon as possible and get out of this rut.
I got mine online at www.transformingyouseminars.com. That's transforming you, the letter U, and the word seminars.com. You can also get it at Amazon. For your copy of Change Your Life, The Core Approach to Creating the Life You Want, go to transformingyouseminars.com.
The Pennsylvania Project proudly supports Body, Mind, and Balance. The Pennsylvania Project is a photographic documentary project by two Philadelphia photographers, Hinda Schumann and Linda Johnson. Their photographs record the diversity, complexity, and wonder of the 67 counties in Pennsylvania. Linda and Hinda are spending time in each county, simultaneously photographing events and scenes, showing their vision of daily life around Pennsylvania. This collaborative project includes photographs, interviews with people they meet, and information about each county they visit. Take a website break, and please visit www.thepennsylvaniaproject.com. That's www.thepennsylvaniaproject.com.
Now that we're older, I see a lot of kids who won't associate with each other just because of their religion or their nationality.
When do we learn to care about those things?
I mean, what's up with that?
Prejudice happens when you make assumptions without knowing the whole story.
Tolerance is accepting someone before they walk through the door.
No matter what their background,
their looks,
their ethnicity,
their religion,
their lifestyle.
It's accepting people for who they are, as individuals.
Tolerance is recognizing and respecting the beliefs or practices of others.
Their culture, their family, their traditions.
Tolerance is celebrating the diversity that makes us great.
Tolerance.org encourages people from all walks of life to fight hate and promote tolerance. People everywhere can find news, tests for hidden bias, and action guides for communities, workplaces, schools, and homes.
Before you make a judgment, get the whole picture.
Tolerance. Honor the differences.
Picture a world of respect. Visit tolerance.org to learn more.
Tolerance.org is a project of the Southern Poverty Law Center.
Okay, welcome back to Body, Mind, and Balance here at AM 860 WWDB. I'm your host, Valerie Shinbaum, and here in the studio today with me are Deborah Moses and Mary, two special guests, and we're talking about change, the choices, and the challenges. And while we were sitting waiting for the break, we talked about toxicity. We were talking a little bit about, Deborah said to me, where are you going next? And I said, well, you know, I want to get into a part where we discuss what happens when change or the lack of change throws us off balance. It's very important to deal with because sometimes we resist change or fear change so much and we'll stay in a situation, whether it's a job or a relationship with somebody, not just necessarily a romantic one. This can be any kind of relationship, a friendship, an acquaintance or a family member or whatever situation, circumstance. And instead of making a change to either make that situation better or just remove ourselves from the situation, we're so bound by fear or bound by, again, guilt, whatever it is, that we stay, even if it means risk, whether it's emotional risk and or physical risk. So I wanted to spend a couple minutes talking about that.
Well, you know, many people that are in those types of situations, and I see them in our seminars, a lot of times people say, I'm not afraid of anything. They don't think they're afraid of anything. They just see themselves as, this is my life. This is where I'm supposed to be. And yeah, I'd like to do something different. And yeah, maybe it'd be healthier for me to be out of this family situation or relationship or whatever. But these are the cards I was dealt.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's necessary to break down where that's coming from when you meet somebody like that and they are seeking your help. I mean, you know, may not want to deal with that with somebody just on the street, but they when you begin to say, so what is it about this that you don't like? And if that was the best of all possible worlds, what would you do?
Mm-hmm.
And then you begin to get clues as to what the resistance is and what the hesitancy is and what they're unable or don't have the tools to change.
Right, right. I like that approach.
I know myself from previously being involved in a very bad marriage that was abusive, that fear is right on the top of the list.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times for women, there's children attached. Mm-hmm. There's the responsibility of the children. Where do I go? How do I survive?
Right.
You'll walk around on eggshells out of the fear.
Right.
But the fear also takes over your whole entire life. Mm-hmm. In that circumstance, at least in my situation, it did at one point.
Mm-hmm.
But then something inside pushes you,
right,
to search for a better life.
Another way.
A different change.
Yeah. It's almost like a switch. Deborah and I talked about this on the show on reinvention. There's a switch. There's a moment. And so many times, as we're saying, if the only thing that's constant is the change is constant, you know, the only thing that we can be sure of is that we are going to experience change. But in each change, there's a moment when we know it's time.
And that doesn't mean the fears go away.
No,
that
what
if
not.
That what if is still there.
Always.
And it, you know, you get to be, I liken it to one of the popular commercials that are out there today, the Just Do It commercial. Mm-hmm. You know, you get to a point where you just have to do it.
Right.
Doesn't mean the fear's not there. I want the listeners to understand that, you know, that fear doesn't always go away. Sometimes
right.
it does.
Right.
When you make the change, sometimes the fear disappears. But it has a tendency to come back
mm-hmm.
in
mm-hmm.
moments where those triggers come up again.
Exactly.
And you have to learn to work through it. You have to learn to just keep going. You know, be that Sherman tank and keep moving forward.
Right.
I know personally that what Valerie was saying, there's a moment where it hits you.
Right.
That you've had enough.
Uh-huh.
It's time for this change.
Right.
Even though you might not realize you need the change, you can't put a finger on it. It just happens, and it's something from deep within that says,
right.
okay, pull your bootstraps up and right. let's get on with life.
And at some point you have in your head, I can't do this anymore.
True.
When that switch hits.
Right. When it's the toxicity. When you're at the think about what toxicity is. Toxicity is poison.
Mm-hmm.
So don't we get to a place where we've taken in as much poison as we're going to be able to handle? And now we know. I do this in addictions work because I'm an addictions counselor. So I see this in addicts all the time. And I say, basically, let's break it down. What are your choices? You're either going to recover or you're going to die. It's pretty much that simple. There's no middle ground.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you get to that place where you've ingested enough toxin, then you figure out that it's time to move away from the toxin and make a change. I liken that to emotional. I say emotional toxicity is just as damaging for people.
And how often, Valerie, do you hear people that say, I can't?
Oh, I know. Oh, my goodness.
One of the things that we were talking about on the break is that adaptability is learned.
Mm-hmm.
Personality can be changed. You can
Absolutely.
Learn to change the things about yourself that you don't like
mm-hmm.
or that aren't working for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
These things can be changed. They're mm-hmm. not so, maybe you can't change the color of your skin or you can't change the color of your eyes, but personality traits can be changed.
Mm-hmm.
You can learn a different way.
Right, right. And it doesn't mean that the personality traits you already have are going to go anywhere. It's just that there are always new things to learn about yourself. And in learning about yourself, you can find ways to incorporate what you know about yourself and help it in that Sherman tank drive forward in the world, right?
Well, I see myself as a rose that came into the world closed,
uh-huh.
who's unfolding.
Oh,
and
neat.
Every time it unfolds a little more, another little mm-hmm. petal drops down a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
It just shows change
mm-hmm,
and it
mm-hmm.
shows that, you know, life isn't necessarily a straight line.
Mm-hmm.
There's bumps, grooves, and all kinds of other obstacles that get in our way,
right.
including ourselves. And that in order to like ourselves and to feel at ease with ourselves, we need to work through the issues. We need to adapt to what is going on.
Mm-hmm.
And it does help to make your life go forward.
Right.
So if the rose doesn't continue to open and bloom, the person to me withers.
And that speaks to complacency.
Sure. I think a lot of people get complacent.
Yeah. Yeah. It's easy to do. I talk to people who are in jobs that they absolutely hate. And all they do, these are my students a lot, you know, people who are coming back to school because they are in jobs that are going nowhere for them personally. It's not satisfying or fulfilling. It's just a paycheck and a time clock. And it's, they don't want to live their lives that way. They want to be excited, not just about the work they do, but about their lives in general. And since we spend, what did we say the last time we were together, Deborah? We talked about 8 hours a day times 5 days a week, presumably. And that's if you're working for a company where you're not expected to do all the overtime and all that stuff.
Right.
Right.
So think about how hard it is then to get up 50 weeks out of the year and go to a place for 8 hours a day that isn't working for you. That's a hard thing to do.
And people do that all the time.
Oh, for their whole lives.
Same thing about staying in relationships or staying in situations that right. are not necessarily optimal for them. Right. But the bottom line is, let's make no mistake about it, change is difficult.
Oh, yeah.
Human beings are inherently resistant to change. Mm-hmm. It's difficult, mm-hmm. even in the corporations that I deal with on a day-to-day basis, and we lead change. We mm-hmm. re-engineer process. There's resistance.
Right.
You have to embrace the positive benefits that are going to come from the change mm-hmm. and keep that as your guiding, well, in business, we call it a guiding coalition, you know, that group or that momentum that keeps the forward movement, you know, keeps the sustaining methods to the change. Mm-hmm. And we need to have that for ourselves, too, whether we get it from within, like Mary says, pulling yourself up by your bootstraps and really getting, you know, your own stuff working to be able to say, I can do this, or whether we have to get it from our support system, whatever that may be for us individually. Mm-hmm. We have to have a way to sustain that because it is hard. Mm-hmm. It's chaotic when you start right. to make changes.
Right. Well, and that speaks to what I do for a living because I teach and I also am a therapist. And of course, the whole thing about therapy is that people always ask me all the time, how do you deal with it when people come in and they want to talk to you about the same problem over and over? In fact, I've had clients. One of my clients who's been with me for quite some time says to me, "Don't you ever get sick of me?" And I'll always laugh and say, "Of course I don't. Why would I get sick of you?" And it's not just because, of course, they come and they pay me money. It's the idea that at least they keep coming. And this is a person who's working very, very hard. All of my clients work hard all the time. And yet, you know, sometimes they're dealing with the same roadblock, the same set of systems and roadblocks that they themselves are staying in stuck in, if you will. Resistance is high. I expect resistance to be high. Change is hard.
And
it's hard work.
And in the population you see, there's a high level of recidivism. You know,
absolutely.
With the addictions
absolutely.
Counseling, you
right.
know, there is a revolving door sometimes.
Sure, sure. And then I don't only see addicts. I think that resistance is high in general. But what I always say to people is, look at who's sitting here. At least you're sitting here. You're sitting here talking to me. So right away, even that puts you in a one-up position on your own self, because at least you made the effort and you took the risk and you're willing to face up to who you are and have somebody else make those observations to you. I think that takes enormous courage. It's not easy.
Well, so. I have a question for both of you. Do you feel that expectations on an individual
mm-hmm.
through society, whatever, sometimes they're just set a little too high?
Okay.
And they're not obtainable, not really, not in all ways. They
okay.
it can't be totally done. And do you feel that this really falls back to the issue of what you're trying to create out of your life
right.
and not being able to reach it?
Okay, that's good. When we come back, we're going to be talking about that. We're going to be answering that question. And Mary, actually, I bet you have the answers to that question for yourself. We're here at Body, Mind, and Balance talking about change on AM 860 WWDB. Our show's call-in number is 610-664-4100. We'll be right back.
Living the life you want to be living? Are you following the path you were born to follow? Are you achieving your fullest potential? If your life seems off, somehow not quite what you thought it would be, or not what you want it to be, perhaps you are not living the life you are meant to be living. How do you change that? It's easier than you think. Pick up a copy of Change Your Life, The Core Approach to Creating the Life You Want by Deborah Moses. This new book will teach you to create the life you want in 4 simple steps: choice, opportunity, responsibility, expectation, C-O-R-E, 4 steps to a more fulfilling life. Available at www.transformingyouseminars.com. That's transforming you, the letter U, not Y-O-U, seminars.com. Also available from Amazon.
Still looking for the perfect diet? Are you confused with all the diet information out there? Want to learn how to lose weight and be healthy in the process? Then the 8-Week Nutrition Bootcamp is just for you. The 8-Week Nutrition Bootcamp is a comprehensive nutrition course designed to help you learn the why behind food choices and changes, not just the what. Anyone can follow a plan. I can help you really understand what you are doing and help you succeed not just for 8 weeks, but for a lifetime. Call me, Joanna Hodorowska, Nutrition in Motion, your personal nutrition coach, at 215-272-6774 or visit me at www.nutrition-in-motion.net. Find your health one meal at a time. Get your nutrition into shape with the 8-Week Nutrition Bootcamp. With me, Joanna Hodorowska, Nutrition in Motion, 215-272-6774 or www.nutrition-in-motion.net.
This is Dr. Corey Bang, founder of the Abington Center for Therapy and Sports Psychology, conveniently located in Abington Township. I am an outpatient therapist, a professor of psychology, and an athlete having completed numerous endurance events, including the Ironman USA Triathlon. I have over 10 years of experience in the field of sports psychology. A sample of my specializations include reaching peak performance, setting effective goals, and eliminating performance anxiety. I work with athletes of all ages and abilities. At the Abington Center for Therapy and Sports Psychology, I will provide comprehensive, confidential, and specific treatment to each individual. Please contact me at the Abington Center for Therapy and Sports Psychology for a free phone consultation to see if I may be of assistance to you. The number is 215-884-7240. That's 215-884-7240. Also, feel free to learn more about us at www.abingtonpsychology.com.
Okay, welcome back to Body, Mind, and Balance here at AM 860 WWDB. I'm Valerie Shinbaum, your host, and our call-in number is area 610-664-4100 if you care to share any of your thoughts, comments, questions, feelings. I'm here in the studio today with Deborah Moses, who is the founder and president of Veris Associates. She's also the author of Change Your Life, The Core Approach to Creating the Life You Want, which is available at her website, which is www.transformingyouseminars.com. That's www.transformingtheletteruseminars.com. And she has just passed me a note that says the book is available for $17.95. Shameless plug, but that's why we're here. In any event, Mary asked a very good question just before we went to break, and it's about expectations. And is there ever a time when setting expectations that we set, the expectations that we set seem unreachable because maybe we set them too high? So Deborah and I both told her, no, no, never. Because if their expectations, my opinion is, if their expectations that come from within us, we decide where we're going. I mean, that's why I call it, that's why I say you're like a tank, because nothing's going to stop you, Mary. You know what I mean?
And just call me Sherman.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Well, then Deborah said you should change the Sherman to Mary.
You know. Yeah, we have a Mary tank instead of a Sherman tank with us today.
But here's where Deborah and I get to talk about something we both enjoy. One of our favorite expressions, which we didn't know about each other, but we found out on the last show, was that we both like the phrase, leap and the net will appear. And Mary, you'll remember that in the class I taught that you were in, we did goal sheets. Remember we do goal sheets all the
That's
time?
That's right.
And you shared with me last week, where is your goal sheet right now?
On the refrigerator.
There you go. Yay!
On the refrigerator.
Right? So for me, remember what I always say in class? Some people in the class were being silly about it, the one guy who wanted to date all those women at the same time. But for most people in the class who took it seriously, they created goal sheets that were very reasonable. And Deborah, you and I have talked about this before. What's stopping you?
Right. We, even in our corporate culture, when we do training, we teach people to identify goals that are achievable, mm-hmm. that are reasonable for them, mm-hmm. that are measurable so that they can see their progress toward those goals. Basically, I have not ever encountered anyone who set a goal for themselves that was a reasonable goal, meaning it's something they realistically thought they could do in their mm-hmm. lifetime, who hasn't achieved a lot of those goals already.
Right.
You know, leaving a corporate culture and starting a business and doing all those kinds of things were on my list a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And we've really gotten to the point where we've mm-hmm. achieved a lot of mm-hmm. those goals and are getting to the next level. So I think one of the key points, though, with your goal sheets is that they need to be updated regularly.
I agree.
We need to keep adding to them. We need to keep making sure that we're on target with the goals that we've set for ourselves.
I find that I am crossing things off and adding things mm-hmm. on.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
As things change in my life. So.
Exactly. I agree. I do the same thing. I had goal sheets from, I can't remember how long ago. And as I sit down and sometimes I'll take a look at, did that. Okay, did that. All right. Made that happen. Cool. That happened too. So now it's always about getting a long sheet of paper, because as you put a line through having achieved something doesn't mean it necessarily goes away, but you continue to add to it, just like you said, Mary. So,
but I think the number one goal on the top of the sheet is making myself happy first before I make others happy.
There you go.
Good job.
I like that. That's about reordering priorities too. And that's something that people really work me. My students this semester are working me really hard when I talk about selfish. And Deborah, you and I have talked about how I believe there are two kinds of selfish. There's the selfish when you sit down in front of a whole pie and you take the largest slice. That's one kind of selfish. Or you cut somebody off in line and you want to pay for your groceries first, never mind that there are 17 people ahead of you. And then there's the other kind of selfish, and that's the one where every day when I wake up, I think, what do I need to accomplish for myself today so that I have that much more to give to everybody else?
Yeah, that's the good selfish.
Yeah, that's the selfish.
But I don't think that's the only gist of it. I use it as, I found that if I feel better about myself, I have time for myself, I do things for myself, which possibly I didn't do in the past.
Mm-hmm.
It affects the way I think about a lot of other different things.
Mm-hmm.
And it has definitely affected the changes in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't put myself first before I put everybody else first. I did for everybody else first.
Mm-hmm.
And I was lost.
Right.
Which creates unhappiness.
Right.
And resentment.
Right.
So I found that by putting myself first, just like you're supposed to pay yourself first, you are paying yourself in the long run.
Right.
Because I've become more adaptable to a lot of the situations that come up in life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm actually learning to change in a more positive manner. And I'm not fighting it like I did in the past.
Good for you.
And it sounds like, Valerie, it sounds like Mary's also eliminated some of those same words from her vocabulary.
Right. Should, ought to, have to, supposed to, and must.
Mm-hmm. We don't have those words.
I don't believe in those words.
We have yes words.
Yeah.
We have wants, needs.
Well, I always talk about what's the longest sentence you ever have to learn how to say. This is a big change for people.
No.
That's right, Mary. You don't have to whisper it.
No.
We're on the air. You can say it loud and proud.
No.
I feel like I'm in school.
But that's what we talk about all the time, is learning to say no.
You know, I had a friend like that, and I have a friend like that, and I actually made her up business card size cards that said, no thank you, but thanks for asking.
Oh, wow.
So that she could learn to say no to people who mm-hmm. asked her to do
mm-hmm.
things.
Mm-hmm.
I want
exactly.
a pack of those.
Yeah, right?
They'll be gone in like 48 hours.
So, Sandy, if you're listening,
right.
I did that for you.
Mm-hmm. I said to my students in one of my classes this week, I had them all do an experiment on themselves. And because we were talking about research methods in psychology. And I said, so you all be your own experiment. Do your own experimental study. Choose a habit or a behavior that you would like to change. And in thinking about the show, I thought, ooh, this is good. I should bring this up. And so they came back this past week. It's a once-a-week class, and they talked about their results. And for many people in the class, it was about learning to put themselves first, say no to unreasonable demands and requests, and learn what their limits are. And this was so interesting to hear these people, how they had gone through this week trying to set limits that mattered, that made sense. And how difficult that was to do. And yet every one of them had some level of success. So now they have been reassigned the homework and they're tooling the project a little bit. It's very interesting to watch people explore that.
I think when I was younger, I didn't understand the expression no totally.
Mm-hmm.
It was taught to me as a child. Yes, 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 all the time.
Right.
Didn't matter who, when, or where.
Right.
You just dropped and you did.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't always make for a real happy individual.
No. Doesn't.
And learning to say the word no has made me much happier
mm-hmm.
because I found that in order to be balanced within myself and to accept the changes that are happening in my life and to control them, which I find is important at this point in my life
mm-hmm.
because I have goals for my changes,
right.
I feel better about myself.
It's a good feeling, isn't it?
It's a lovely feeling.
Now, we should spend a couple minutes talking about, okay, so now we've made the changes, right? And we're keeping our life in balance, as you just pointed out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a choice we make every single day. Let's spend just a couple minutes talking about how it feels when people around us struggle with the way we're changing. Have either of you had any experience with that?
Oh, big time. Yeah. Didn't I've told you the story before, I think, when I finally made the decision to leave corporate America and come home and said, hey, Mike, I'm going to quit my job and start my own business. And he said, oh, okay, that's good. And I'm, no, you don't understand. I'm going to quit my job like in 2 weeks and start my own business. And here's where I was with, you know, thinking about all this. And the mistake that I made in retrospect was I hadn't really brought him along with my thinking processes. Right. And I was much further along than he knew that I was at the time. But that wait a minute, time out. You can't do that. We have a kid in college and we got three more coming up behind him. And, you know, you're going to cut our household income in half and, you know, blah, 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 blah. All those, you know, those panicky statements that come up at that point in time, not everybody is on board with us. I have somebody who was just in a seminar recently who is trying to reduce her weight. Her husband is bringing her home ice cream every night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's up with this? Well, you know, what do you think's going on with that? Well, you know, if I had him in my seminar, I'd be exploring, well, why don't you want your wife to lose weight and look better? And is there a fear there about, well, maybe she'll look better and she'll eventually leave me for somebody else or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
But that we have people around us all the time that are trying to sabotage our success.
Absolutely. And even sometimes they're the ones who will tell us that they love us the most.
Mm-hmm. I have to. I do have to say one more thing about that because I was talking about my husband's negative reaction.
Oh, right.
In retrospect, he has been, and Mike, if you're listening, you need to know this, the most supportive of anybody in my entire life about this. And the reason that my business is so successful, here we are 2 years later, is one of the reasons is because I've had that support. So I needed to throw that in.
Yay,
sorry.
And the other piece about that, Deb, is something that you and I have talked about before, is that even, and this is the part about courage. Remember we were talking about courage during the break and how important courage is, because when the people around us react in a panic, what was the one thing you said? He said, you can't do this. And you basically said to him, without being, you know, snotty about it, you just said, watch me.
Yeah.
Watch me.
I can.
Watch me.
You need a good base of support.
Yes.
And there are people in your lives that are not going to agree with you from time to time.
Right.
And things happen and you change and they've changed. And sometimes you move or grow apart.
Right.
There are people that pass through our lives. That's what I say.
Mm-hmm.
In one manner or another.
Mm-hmm.
There's some that stay.
Right.
And some that go, and that's part of the reasoning behind it.
There's the reason. You're right.
And those learned capabilities you were talking about earlier, Mary, the ways that we learn about the capabilities that we can gain, the way that we can change, that instills the courage in us, too.
Mm-hmm.
Those things that we learn about ourselves, each small step gives us a little more courage to make the next one.
Right. So I think what it really comes down to as we think about, you know, words of encouragement for our listeners is, never be afraid to take that first step.
Leap and the net will appear.
Leap and the net will appear. The only direction is forward.
Well, it'll hold a tank.
That's right. I want to thank my guests today, Deborah Moses and Mary, for being on the show. It was great to have you here in the studio talking about change. We've all experienced it. We're all going through it. Change never stops happening. I want to thank our listeners for listening to us today on Body, Mind, and Balance at AM 860 WWDB, area code 610-664-4100, in case you ever want to call in. Join us next week on Saturday, September 24th from 4 to 5 when Susan Toler will be here with another topic on Body, Mind, and Balance. And thanks for listening. Have a great weekend.
AM 860 is WWDB Philadelphia, the Delaware Valley's only money talk radio.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Louise Schiavone.
We got lights. We have lights. In the French Quarter, in New Orleans, Louisiana, we now have electricity.
Elation in a tiny part of the French Quarter in New Orleans as the power was restored. But federal authorities warn the city is nowhere near prepared to receive its residents. Most of the power is not on, you cannot drink the water, and the levees are still weak. That's not to say that New Orleans can't be reconstructed. Former federal housing official Bruce Katz, now at the Brookings Institution, says it's been done before.
The fact is, we rebuilt San Francisco after the earthquake in 1989, we rebuilt LA after the earthquake in 1994. We've